And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given me in heaven and in the earth. They go therefore and make disciples of every nation. They baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age." Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Make sure you are opening your Bibles. Mark 16 from verse 15. Mark 16 from verse 15. And it said to them, "Go ye into all the world." You see that? "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." It says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And this time shall follow them that believe in my name, don't cast out devils. Say they will speak with new tongues. Say they will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Say they will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover." So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, with the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. Luke 24 from verses 44. Bless the fast, yes. Luke 24 from verse 44. And Jesus said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. And he opened his their understanding, that they might comprehend the scriptures." Did you see that? "The thoughts it is written, and thus it behoves Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins be preached in his name amongst all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." Glory to God. Glory to God. So, okay, inclusive, let's add John 20. It's not in my notes, but let's add it there. John 20, 22. "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye forgive, are forgiven them, and whosoever ye remit, are remitted." Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we said, this, reading this together, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, towards the end, it will be Jesus' instructions to his disciples. Hallelujah. Jesus gave instructions to his disciples. You are supposed to be in your brand. What are you doing here? Eh? How? Huh? Combined service. I'm not aware. Why your members? Yes, you have told me I haven't combined service. You didn't tell me. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go ahead. Now, we said these instructions are instructions of Jesus within the 40 days. That is to say, when Jesus resurrected, the Bible says he appeared to them for 40 days. He was with them after he resurrected, right? Physically. Now, within that 40 days, he gave them instructions, right? He gave them instructions. And what was the instruction? The instruction was for them to go preach the gospel. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. Let's look up here. Was for them to go preach the gospel. Now, we said, when he says go preach the gospel, it means he made them his evangelists. Amen? Jesus made his disciples, inclusive of us, his evangelists. We're going to get to that shortly. So when he said go make disciples, now that word disciples is where you get the word an apprentice from. Hallelujah. An apprentice, matitio. How you train somebody in a discipline, in a particular trade. Hallelujah. So he said, go make disciples. Hallelujah. Go make men students. So we said, at the background, if you've been following us, this is the first week, if I'm not mistaken. Hallelujah. This is the first section. What to say that? Okay, this is the fifth section. Hallelujah. So for the past 4 weeks, we've been discussing this. And we said, at the background, when he says go make disciples, will be a gathering. Hallelujah. Will be a gathering. A gathering, that is to say the local church. Hallelujah. obey a gathering, that is the local church. When you say go make disciples, you have a gathering at the background. Why would you have a gathering? Look at Acts 2. When 3,000 people got saved, they didn't get saved, and then he told them, scatter abroad. No, they were added to them. Did you see that? A gathering. And we said, at the background of this background is the book of Exodus. Right? They came out of Egypt, right, into the wilderness, and they didn't scatter in the wilderness. They were together. You see that? They were together. So that means that in the background of this instruction will be a gathering. Hallelujah. Will be a gathering. And we say that gathering will be born out of our gathering in Christ. And also when a man is born again, the Bible says we are in him. Hallelujah. John 15. Jesus will say, abide in me and I in you. So when a man is born again, he is in Christ. He is in Christ. Hallelujah. Have you followed me? In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if any man be in Christ, so to be born again is to be in Christ. Hallelujah. Okay, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. So to be born again is to be in Christ. To be born again is for Christ to dwell in you. So it happens together. Once a man is born again, he's in Christ and Christ is in him. Hallelujah. So to be born again is for you to be in Christ. Now that's our coming in Christ together all over the world. Every believer in Christ is called church together. That gathering in Christ, we are called his church, right? Now that is his church, not produce a physical assembly like this. Hallelujah. So that means when we are gathered together like this and called church, it's because of our union in Christ first. Hallelujah. What are you following me? Because of our union in Christ. So the local church is a product of that gathering in him. Now what did Jesus say about our gathering together? Or our gathering together. What did Jesus say about our gathering together? What did Paul call it? What did Jesus say about it? Hallelujah. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. First of all, let's start from our individual gathering together. 1 Corinthians 6. Are you 1 Corinthians 6? Okay. If you're there, I'm going to read from verses 18. Look at what it says. Okay, verse 19. Say what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, you are not your own. Meaning, what does he call? Because of our gathering in Christ, right? Right? Because Christ lives in us, he calls our bodies the temple of the Holy Ghost. He uses the word temple. We want to explore that in the coming days. Hallelujah. Temple. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen? We are his temple. Personally, we are his temple. But look at what he says before this in 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. This is in verse 16. Look what he said in verse 16 of 1 Corinthians 3. He said, know ye not that ye are the temple of God. Now he was talking about their gathering together, the church in Corinth. He says, don't you know that you are the temple of God? So that means, listen, we together like this will call the temple of God. As we are gathered together, we are called the temple of God. Hallelujah. You see that? Our bodies are his temple. Our gathering is called his temple. Look at 1 Corinthians 3, from verse 15. 1 Corinthians 3, 15. Look at what Paul says again. 1 Corinthians 3, 15. Remember, we are treating the topic when we are gathered. When we are gathered. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 15. It says, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself. See, in the house of God. Did you hear? The church of the living God. The pillar and the ground of truth. Look at what he calls our gathering. He calls our gathering what? The house of God. Is it that? So the gathering of believers is called what? It's called what? Hallelujah. So together like this, and gathered, not the brief, no. are gathering together is called the house of God. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. It's called what? The house of God. It's called the church of the living God. Hope you're following me. It's called the church of the living God. Look at Matthew 18. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew 18. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's see this. Matthew 18. Look at verse 20. It says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, say, I am in the midst of them. Did you see that? Did you see that? When two or three, that is gathering, right? Right? Hallelujah. Two or three is gathering. Now he said, when we are gathered like that, he said, I am in their midst. Did you see that? That means in the gathering of believers, God is there. That is why it's called the temple of God, because God is there. Hallelujah. When believers gather in his name, in his name means in his authority. Hallelujah. When we gather together as a church, it says God is there. Hallelujah. Okay, well, God is there in our midst. Glory to God. Say, God is there in our midst.
God is there in our midst.
All of the saints, like you mean. Say, God is here in our midst. Hallelujah. So if God is here in our midst, it then means that every believer's gathering is an encounter. I'm coming to church, I'm not just coming to sit down, I'm coming to have an encounter with God. Hallelujah. I taught us. Every believer's gathering is an encounter. You can come with your sick bodies and you are in church and you'll be healed. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Just be now running church because you know that God is there. Hallelujah. God is there. So that means if God is here, it means the gathering of believers is holy. Our gathering is holy. It should be treated as sacred. We should treat it as what? As sacred. Our believers' gathering is sacred. So we should treat it sacred. Hope you're following me. We should treat it sacred. It is holy. Hallelujah. God has placed his honor on the garden. Look at Psalms 26. Psalms 26 verse 8. Psalms 26 verse 8. It says, Lord, Lord, I've loved the habitation of thy house. Now what does it mean by habitation of thy house? Is this referring to temple? Is this referring to temple? Is it referring to gathering? Hallelujah. Say, Lord, I've loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thy honor dwelleth. So that means where God habits, where he stays, he places his honor on it. That means I must honor the gathering of believers. Psalms 122 says, the psalmist will say there, he says, I was glad when they say unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So they went there and let's go to church. They are grumbling. No. The psalmist said, I was glad. If you are a child of God, you must love to be in the garden of believers. Hope you are hearing me. Amen. A child of God must love to be in the garden of believers. When a child of God doesn't like that, doesn't like being the company of believers, then something is wrong with him spiritually. Amen? Then there's something wrong. And we have to investigate it. When a child of God doesn't like the company of believers, watch that child of God. Satan is building an estate on him. Amen? I must love that gathering. When I'm told it's church time, when I'm told it's time for prayer meeting, I am glad. That is the attitude of the believer. Is I'm glad to go to church. Amen. I am glad to fellowship with brethren. Why? Because I know God is there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is there. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. That means every of the believers' gathering is an encounter. Every of the believers' gathering is an encounter with God. It's an encounter with God. See, let me tell you, I said this last week, I'm going to repeat it again. And that the problem with a lot of people is they feel encounter with God will be spectacular. They're looking for the spectacular. The one will say, ah, you're an encounter with God. So as you are shouting, praise the Lord, the ceiling will just be shaking. Ah, God is there. No. No. Some people have watched too much cartoons. And then, God is there. They want to see smoke coming out from somewhere. It's too much Nollywood. African magic. Yeah? They want to see smoke. See, that's the problem with a lot of people. Glory to God. They want to see smoke. They say, God is there. You know, I remember when I was still growing up in Sunday school. I'm still growing up still. I know you're old. I'm still young. So, they would tell us, shout, when they shout, praise the Lord. The one no one was on, hallelujah. Say, no, your hallelujah has not crossed the ceiling. So you're going to shout hallelujah, let the ceiling shake. So we will shout with all our voice, ha! And I'm looking at the ceiling, let it shake. And the ceiling is still there. So oh, God. You know, your hallelujah must shake the ceiling. So we will shout hallelujah. The question is the ceiling really shake? You will then. Because it will fall on your head. Amen? But we are just looking at something spectacular. You say, yes, God has answered me. Your problem is Nollywood. Your problem is sitting pressure somewhere. Hallelujah. Because you know what? Encounter with God is supernatural. It's supernatural. The day a man gets born again, we're going to see that. He had a supernatural encounter with God. Nothing can happen to him sometimes. You didn't change from black to blonde. No! You didn't change from black to half caste. No! You are still the same person. Amen? Your hand didn't grow from like this to like this. No! You are still the same person. But you know what? Something supernatural has happened to you. So the encounter with God is supernatural. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Supernatural. And I said, the supernatural doesn't have to be spectacular to be supernatural. It can be just the normal event. We want to look at something. Hallelujah. Someone says, I want to hear from God. Let God just speak. And you are saying, I want God to speak to me through a goat. You're just looking for something like this. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Let's proceed because we have a lot to cover. Hallelujah. In Psalm 29, verse 9. Look at verse 9. It says, the voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to clay and discovereth the forest. In his temple does everyone speak of his glory. In his temple. Where is his temple? Our gathering, right? Is it our gathering together that is the temple? Is it our bodies together that is the temple? Did you see that? So our gathering together, what does it say? We speak of his glory. Hallelujah. So that means what we do when we come together is to speak of his glory. We're going to see that. We speak of his glory. Now when you use that word glory is a word in the Greek and a word in the Hebrew. In the Hebrew is the word kabod. In the Greek is the word doxa. Is this for what one has done? What about for something that somebody has done? A possession. What somebody has done. What somebody has as a property. So it says, speak of his glory. Speak of what God has done. Is that? That means when we come together, one thing that we give preeminence to is what God has done. Amen? What he has done. So we're going to explore this word. His glory. We'll speak of his glory. Amen. What God has done. What has God done? We're going to see all that. Hallelujah. So we said we'll have five different kinds of meetings. Five different kinds of gatherings. Five kinds of gatherings when we come together. Five kinds of meetings when we are gathered. And we said the first meeting is called the teaching meeting. Like what happened here. Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, teaching them. So that means every church service is a teaching meeting where we teach of God's glory. What is God's glory? What Jesus has done. What God has done through us and is doing in the world. Hope you are following this. Amen? Where we teach is the classroom meeting of believers. We have the prayer meeting. So we have the prayer meeting. We have the teaching meeting. We have the prayer meeting. We have discussed this in several other teachings before now. Amen? Amen? Several other teachings on Holy Ghost meetings before now. So you can lay hold on those teachings. We have the prayer meeting. The prayer meeting will come from the teaching meeting. It's a practical class. So we'll gather to pray. Hallelujah. We'll gather to pray as a church. We'll gather to pray. In Acts of Apostles 1 verse 14, the disciples, when Jesus left their side physically, they were seen together in Acts 1 14 praying. They were praying together in Acts 1 14. In Acts 2:1, they were in one accord in one place. What were they doing? The same thing in Acts 1 14. They were praying. Hope you're following me. And the Holy Ghost came. In Acts 2 verse 1, the Bible says, Peter and John were on their way to the temple in the hour of prayer. So they had times of prayer. You see that? They had times of prayer. They went to pray. When they were threatened in Acts 4, by Acts 4:23, the Bible said they came to their company and reported all what the chief priests had done. And together they lifted up their voice and prayed. Acts 4, they prayed. Have you ever seen that? In Acts 6, Peter would say, we'll give ourselves, Acts 6 verse 4, Peter would say, we'll give ourselves continually to the ministry of the word and prayer. Did you see that? Ministry of the word and prayer. So if everyone speaks of prayer, in Colossians, Paul would say, you pray continually. Continue steadfastly in prayer. In 1 Thessalonians 5, he would say, pray without ceasing. Did you see that? So prayer in the church, we have what we call prayer meeting, right? We have the evangelistic meeting. Evangelistic meeting, where we all come together and go out. We'll come together, go out for evangelism. Evangelism. So we'll stay here a bit. We stayed here a bit last week. I said, we have a lot of people who think they don't, it's not my own duty to do evangelism because I'm not an evangelist. It says evangelism is for evangelists. No. Right? Have we been able to debunk that a bit? Hallelujah. Okay. The evangelism is for those who are evangelists. Only evangelists are doing evangelism. So, what about you? He said, no, I'm not an evangelist. Who are you? I'm just a member in church. Nothing. Hallelujah. First of all, we say the role of an evangelist, that the word evangelist is the word in the Greek, euangelistes, which is one who bears the gospel, one who preaches the gospel, euangelistes, from the word euangelon. Right? One who preaches the good news. In Ephesians 4:11 into 12, it says, and he gave some, and he gave some to be apostles. It says some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers. Hallelujah. Look at verse 12 of Ephesians 4. Let's get back to Ephesians 4. Quickly. Ephesians 4. Am I a bit fast? Am I fast? It is. Okay. Ephesians 4. Look at verse 11. I'll go back again. Ephesians 4:11. It says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. So, for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Did you see that? So, he gave some apostles, some prophets, evangelists. So, you see that the function of the evangelist is towards the saints. You see, for the what? Perfecting of the saints. Did you see that? For the what? Perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. So it's towards the ministry, it's towards the saints. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 5, look at 2 Timothy quickly. 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. If you're there, I'm going to read 2 Timothy 4, 5. It says, but watch thou in all things, endure affliction, He said, do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. He tells him to do the work of an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. He said, make full proof of thy ministry. When you use the word make full proof, there is the word in the Greek, plerophonio. P-L-E-R-O-P-H-O-R-E-O. Plenophorio. Is it four times? Oh, sorry, six times in New Testament Greek. You'll find it used in Luke 1 verses 1. Luke 1 1. In Luke 1 verse 1, I'll read. He says, forasmuch as many are taken in hand to set forth in order of those things which are most surely believed amongst us. That is the word most surely believed. Most surely believed amongst us. Is that? To make full proof. You find it again in Romans 4. Romans 4. Quickly. Get that read. Romans 4 verse 21. It says, and being fully persuaded that what he has promised he was able to perform. That's the word, fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. In chapter 14 of Romans, verses 5. Romans 14, 5. It says here, it says, one man's estimate one day above another. Another estimate every day alive. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. That's the word, fully persuaded. In that, in 2 Timothy, where we're reading from, verse 17, Paul uses it there also. 2 Timothy 4, 17. Look at what he says in verse 17. He said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by preaching, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. That's the word, fully known.
Amen.
So that word, plerophonio, implies to make or to establish a persuasion. To establish a persuasion.
Amen.
A persuasion. So, when it says make full proof of thy ministry, it means how you persuade. Right? A persuasion. You make or you establish, or you reestablish a persuasion. Hallelujah. So when it says make full proof of thy ministry, it says do the work of an evangelist. So when he says do the work of an evangelist, you have to start reading from 1 Timothy chapter 1. Who is Timothy and what, who is Timothy to Paul? He's Paul's son in the Lord. And Paul sent him in verse 3 of 1 Timothy 1 to where Ephesus. So he's the pastor in Ephesus. This is that he's the pastor of the church in Ephesus. Hope you are following me. Okay. So, when he now tells him, do the work of an evangelist, who was he going to do the work of an evangelist to? The believers in where? Ephesus. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. Why will he do that? Look at that second Timothy very well. Look at verse 3. He said, but the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears. Is that? And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned into fables. So that means there's already a growing rise in false doctrine. We're going to treat false doctrine maybe towards GPLR or immediately after GPLR. We have to treat that. We have to just teach about false doctrine and Antichrist. We're going to talk about a bit about the Antichrist. Amen? And false doctrine. We really need that teaching around this here. Hallelujah. Something around it. Just around it. I'm not telling you the topic will be Antichrist. Yeah? Yeah, but something around it. Amen. Glory to God. So, there was already a rise of the Antichrist. And the Antichrist is not a person but a message. Glory to God. That's what I'm saying. It's a message. Amen. Hope you are following me. Aha. So, there was already a rise of false doctrine. Now look at what he tells him. It says, many will turn to false teachers. But it now says, see, do the work of an evangelist. It didn't say, you are an evangelist. It says, do the work of an evangelist. When it tells you, do the work of an evangelist, the same thing too. When it says, some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers, he wasn't referring to persons. Even if you can read persons into it, right? But the fundamental thing he's talking about is referring to a functionality. That's what he's referring to. He was referring to a function that one can take up in the local church. This is not a function that people take up, but it's a function first. So I said, do the work of an evangelist is to function as an evangelist. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what will be the work of an evangelist? He told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2. He said, the things which you've heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men. So it will be in the preaching of the gospel. Did you see that? Hallelujah. That is to say, when he tells you, look at 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. Watch to 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. Are you there? Let's read together. 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. Are you there? Look at verse 2. Let's read together. One, two, go. Come on, let's read together. One, two, go. The same? Who will be able to teach others also, right? Right? So, when he says commit to faithful men, he thinks you've learned from me. Commit to faithful men. What would you think he's telling him to do? He's telling him that he should re-establish their persuasion, right? Is that to re-establish their persuasion? Re-establish their persuasion in the gospel of Christ. The Bible tells him in chapter 3. Chapter 3, look at chapter 3. From verse 16. Let's read from verse 15 together. I'll read 15, you'll read 16, then we'll read 17 together. Let's do that like that. Hallelujah. So I'll take 2 Timothy 3, I'll take 15, you take 16, I'll read 17 together. Okay, verse 16. And from a child that has known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Let's read 16 together. Given by the inspiration of God. Verse 17 together. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Did you see that? Amen? Did you see that? So, the role of an evangelist, or in other words, the work of an evangelist is to reestablish that persuasion in Christ. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Amen? Hope you're following that. Glory to God. It's to reestablish that persuasion in the gospel of Christ in the face of false doctrine. In other words, the work of a pastor. The work of a pastor in the local church is the function of, I'll put it this way, in the work of the pastor to the flocks in the local church, there lies the function of an evangelist, of the evangelist. Where what is being done is to reveal and renew the persuasion of believers in the doctrine of Christ. In the work of a pastor lies in there the duty or the function of an evangelist to do what? To reestablish, review, and renew the persuasion of believers in the doctrine of Christ. That will be in the gospel. Okay, follow me. Amen. Amen. To the work of a pastor. Okay. Glory to God, let me not go further. Hallelujah. What are you following? But here now lies a curse. Or here now lies something else. If you now go back to Luke 21 verse 8. Everybody let's go to Luke 21:8. Acts 21 verse 8. Now look, Acts 21 verse 8. I want to mention the guys that I call Luke 21. Acts 21 verse 8. Now Luke. Luke is Paul's disciple. Right? And he's writing Acts. Look at what he said in Acts 21. Verse 8. Are you there? Are you there? Okay. It says, and the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came to Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip, the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. So, he said, Philip, and he mentioned the word, the evangelist. Again, he wasn't saying Philip's middle name is evangelist. No, it says Philip, the evangelist. Now, why would they use the word the evangelist for Philip? The same thing too in verses 10. Look at verses 10. He did the same thing too for another guy. It says, verse 10, it says, and as we tarried there many days, they came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. Agabus. Now, prior to now, when Agabus was recorded in Acts 11, go down to Agabus, I mean Acts 11, not Agabus 11. Acts 11? Acts 11, verse 28. Put it, open it together with that Acts 21, if you're still there. Look at what he said. He says, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit, that there should be great wrath in the world. Now watch. In Acts 11, he didn't call Agabus prophet. But in Acts 21, he called him prophet. Or he said, he actually didn't call Agabus a prophet. He said, a certain prophet named Agabus. The same thing too he would do for Philip. And why would he do it like that? He would call Agabus, and you put prophet by the side, so you can relate it back to Acts 11. That is a functionality. Amen? A function. Now, he's called prophet in Acts 11 because of what he has said before, in Acts 21, because of what he has said before in Acts 11. Hope you're following me. He spoke by the Spirit. This is that, and he called him a prophet. Now, the same thing too, it gets to talk about Philip, and he said, the evangelist. Now, when you have the evangelist, where would you find that role of the evangelist? You have to go back again to Acts 8. It signifies to you that Philip there is one of the seven in Acts 6. It's part of the seven that were nominated to serve tables in Acts 6. And by Acts 8, we now see what he did. Look at Acts 8. After the apostle chapter 8. Hope you're with me. Acts of Apostles chapter 8. I'll read from verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Did you see that? And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Did you see that? Philip went to Samaria and preach Christ to them. So when you hear Philip the evangelist, you will trace it back towards Acts 8 verse 4. You see that? When he took the gospel to Samaria. And also, you will also see it in where? You also find it too in him preaching the gospel to the Ethiopian Enoch within the same chapter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Something you have to see now. Now, why do you have that, like, we just read that Paul used the word evangelist for the ministry to the saints. Right? And we're not finding evangelists again being used for or evangelists, and we can trace it again to ministry to the unsaved, Samaritans. This is that Samaria rather. What are you following me? So let's quickly look at that word again. Remember, we said the word is called euangelistes, right? Evangelist, one who preaches the gospel, right? One who preaches the gospel. So we'll find it in Christ's ministry. In Matthew 4:23, he went through all Galilee. Matthew 4:23, he said, and Jesus went about all Galilee, preaching in their synagogue and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So Jesus was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So is that Jesus the evangelist? Is that Jesus the evangelist? Aha! Uh-huh. Let's see that word. Jesus the evangelist. In Matthew 9 verse 35. Matthew 9 35. And Jesus went about the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogue and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Is that still Jesus the evangelist? Okay. Matthew 12 41. Matthew 12, 41. And the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment for this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, they greater than Jonah is here. So if they repented at the preaching of Jonah, which is Jonah, he said a greater than Jonah is here. That means he will also be preaching the gospel. Right? Is it Jesus the evangelist also? Just like Jonah the evangelist. Right? Just like Jonah the evangelist. Right? Okay. Let's go for that again. In Mark 1:14. Mark 1:14. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Isn't that Jesus the evangelist? Is it Jesus the evangelist? Okay. So we also read it. We also read that also in Luke 3:3, Luke 9:6, Luke 8:1. Luke 3:3, Luke 9:6, Luke 9:32, Luke 8:1. But by the time you get to Matthew 10:1, where his disciples were seeing him, he sent his 12 to do the work of an evangelist. He sent them to the lost sheep of Israel. Isn't that? He sent 12 of his disciples, the 12 disciples to go and preach the gospel. They became his evangelists. Isn't that? By Luke 10, he sent 70 of his disciples. They became his evangelists. Hope you're following that. Amen. In the resurrection, when he resurrected, you know it was a bigger audience, right? In Acts 1:8. He said, you will receive power that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth. Is that his disciples is evangelist? Right? Is that his apostles is evangelist? Okay. Okay. That means I will find it now in Mark 16. Is that the role of an evangelist? Luke 24, is that the role of an evangelist? Repentance and revelation will preach in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And here are witnesses of this. Is that evangelist? Right? John 20, whosoever sins here forgive are forgiven. And whosoever here return and return. Is that the role of an evangelist? Okay. If that is the role of an evangelist, you will now find them in the book of Acts. In Acts 2:14, Peter was preaching and 3,000 souls were saved. Acts 2 verse 14 into 21. In Acts 3, they healed the guy at the gate called Beautiful. And when the guy was healed, people gathered, and what happened? Peter preached. Did you see that? Is that the role of an evangelist? Is that apostles? Hope you're following that. Hallelujah. Amen. In Acts 5:42. Quickly. Acts 5:42. Let's be fast now. It is, and daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. So that means we'll find Peter, that is the apostles, Peter, in brackets, the apostles, because they all did it together, were preaching the gospel, right? Right? Look at Acts 6 verse 4. We'll give ourselves continually to the ministry of the word and prayer. Is that the same thing? Evangelist? Yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that means the function of the evangelist. Yes. A conclusion to it. The function of the evangelist will be first Christ's function in the earth today. The function of the evangelist will be first Christ's function in the earth today. It will be towards the unsaved, persuading them to believe the gospel of Christ. You know, it's a persuasion, right? It will be towards the unsaved, persuading them to believe the gospel of Christ. And towards the saved, strengthening our persuasion of the gospel which we have already received. Hallelujah. So the role of an evangelist is towards the saint and towards the unbeliever. So towards the saints, the believers, is to strengthen our persuasion. And Christ walks through us as believers to the unsaved. Did you see that? Those who are not yet born again, that they will believe in the gospel. Hope you are following me. Amen. So when I go out for evangelism, am I doing the work of an evangelist? Am I doing the work of an evangelist? Okay. Glory to God. So we'll have another kind of meeting called the healing meeting. They will come together and there are 6 people there and they get healed. We now have what we call the Holy Ghost meeting. The Holy Ghost meeting. Now, we said in the Holy Ghost meeting, we'll take up what we have inside upon. Right? We'll take up what we have within upon. Let me define the Holy Ghost meeting. The Holy Ghost meeting, or a Holy Ghost meeting, is the believer's town hall meeting, where the gift of the Spirit are in full demonstration. Are in full demonstration. We'll take up what we have within upon. Every need is met. And we all leap through the door rejoicing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in the Holy Ghost meeting, we say we take of what we have within upon. We take of what we have within upon. We say it is the gift of the Spirit in full demonstration. Hallelujah. So the question we now ask is, what do we have within? What do we have within as believers? What do we have? What do we have as believers? In 1 Corinthians 2, let's get to 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12. Are you verse 12? Let's read together, I want to go. So we've received. Right? Not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Hallelujah. So what have we received as believers? The Spirit of God. Say, I have the Spirit of God. Say it. Say it again. Turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, I have the Spirit of God. Say, I have the Holy Spirit. I have the Holy Ghost. Amen. So what do we have as believers? We have the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! Glory, glory, glory. Are you there? We have the Spirit of God. Something I showed us last week, which I want to say today, is that if you read from verses 4, let's see a bit of what Jesus said about the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 4. He said, my speech and my preaching was not with the words, was not the enticing words of man's wisdom, but with the demonstration of the Spirit and power. That is to say, he says, when a man preaches the gospel, right? Right? When he uses the word demonstration of the Spirit and power, it's the word that means apodectic. How to put forth light on dark surface. You can see how you put light on a dark surface, on a dark area. Now, he says, when he was preaching the gospel to them, for them to be saved, he said, yeah, what they had in contact with them in the preaching of the gospel was the Holy Ghost. That means a man's contact, first contact with the Spirit of God, was when the gospel was preached to him. So he called it Spirit. Isn't that? That is to say, the word of God is Spirit. Jesus will say, the word I speak unto you are Spirit and are life. Isn't that? Amen? Amen? Now, watch down to verses 13 of that same book. Which things will speak? Look at, are you in verse 13? Okay, let's look from verse 12. Now we will see. Not the spirit of this world, but the things of God, that we might know those things that are freely given unto us of God. So which things will also speak? Not in the world in which man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual. What does it call spiritual? The word spiritual there is the word pneumatical. Pneumatical. It's used for things in the Spirit. Things of the Spirit, things by the Spirit. I put it there, things of the Spirit, from the Spirit, and by the Spirit. So a child of God, what does he receive? The Holy Ghost. He has the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9. He said, we've received the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In verse 11, he said, if that same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in you. You see that? So that means the believer has the Spirit of God in him. To have the Spirit of God in me. Now, because of the Spirit of God in you, you are spiritual. What are you going to do? So Paul calls the believer spiritual because of the Holy Ghost. Amen? The believer is spiritual. They are spiritual. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They are spiritual. Okay, before we get to that, how long does the Holy Spirit stay in you? You know, there are some people who say the Holy Ghost comes and goes. They will tell you the Holy Ghost comes when you do bad things. He goes. They sing a song, if you do good, kingdom, oh, kingdom, oh, kingdom waiting for you. If you do bad, no more kingdom. No, I'm going to say two things to you today. John 14. Verse 16. Let's get to John 14. Okay. John 14, 16. John 14, 16. Oh, okay. Are you in John 14? Look at verse 16. Are you in verse 16? Okay. Let's see together where to go. Amen. He said, I'll pray the Father and he will give you another comforter. He now calls him the Spirit of Truth. Now, how long will the Spirit dwell in you? Look at that verse 16. How long?
Forever.
I thought it's just 1 year. I thought it's just 2 days. Did you use forever? Hallelujah! So the gift of the Holy Ghost is forever. God's Spirit doesn't come and go. No. The Spirit of God has a permanent house address. Hallelujah! So the Spirit of God has a permanent house address. And that house address is in me. Hallelujah! Oh, yeah, I've done bad things. The Holy Ghost has left me. No! It doesn't go. Hallelujah! The Spirit of God doesn't depart. No! Let me, okay, chill. Let me go and eat food. No! The Spirit of God is always in you. Amen? Are you right? Is there your Spirit? Right? Right? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to God! Look at something in Romans. Rush quickly to Romans. Why don't I have it in my Bible? My notes here. Romans 11. Romans 11. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Romans 11.
I'm not shutting my notes now.
Okay, Romans 11. Are you there? Verse 9. Verse 29. 29. Romans 11, 29. It says, and the gift. Listen to that. The gift. What is the gift of God? What do you mean that the gift of God in John? What is the gift of God? What is the gift of God? Hallelujah. Where is the Spirit of God? Where is the Spirit of God? In the believer, right? Now let's see something. Look up at verse 29 here. Are you there? Let's read together. 1, 2, go. Hallelujah. You get the gifts of God are without repentance. Repentance there means, is a Greek word that means it cannot be revoked. It cannot be revoked. Means God cannot call it back. It's not like your earthly fathers and mothers or parents. When they give you something there, if you don't do this thing, if you don't go and watch the place, I will take back the bicycle. I'll take back that thing I bought for you. No, God is not like that. Hallelujah. The gifts of God are irrevocable. God doesn't revoke his spirit back. No! His spirit is in you. Hallelujah. So I have the Holy Spirit in me forever. Amen. See, let me tell you something. Even if you do bad things, the Spirit of God is in you. Amen. He doesn't leave you. No. God says his gifts are irrevocable. He's not going to call him back. I say, hey. Busaya, I'm taking back my spirit. No, God doesn't do that. Hallelujah. His spirit is in you forever. Stays in me forever. Hallelujah. So sir, does it mean that as a child of God, I cannot lose my salvation? You can't lose it. That's what it means. Because what is the stamp of salvation? The Holy Ghost is you. So therefore you can't lose your salvation. You can't. Hope you're following me. You can lose the salvation. It's in you forever. The Holy Ghost is in you forever. And when the Holy Ghost came, the Holy Ghost didn't come with empty hands. No! Hope you're hearing me. The Holy Ghost didn't just enter and just say, no, he didn't come with empty hands. He came with his tragedy. Came with his love. Hallelujah! The Holy Ghost, which is the gift of God, came with his gift. Hope you're following me. He came with his box. He came with everything because he's making you his abode forever. Hope you're following me. He's making you his abode forever. Forever means forever. No going back. Amen. Amen. I was speaking to someone one time. Then he said, I don't know. I think I've lost my salvation. I said, see, you cannot. He said, okay, sir. What if I denounce it? I said, you cannot denounce it. He said, does it mean that you are in it forever? Ha ha! Glory to God. You are in it forever. No man, those guys that are there, I'm no longer a child of God, I'm now an atheist. You cannot lose it. You're born again, You are trapped in forever. Hallelujah! Okay, you hearing me? Okay, no, I want to denounce that. You know, someone said, they took all of us, another one should denounce Jesus Christ, and another one, not denounce him, I'm not denounce Jesus. Who the hell are you? Anything you say is just my word. You cannot denounce him again. Amen. So telling me that I don't know if I denounce him, I don't know if I'm a Christian. You denounce what? You can't denounce him. He knows about. I said it. I said you cannot. The Holy Ghost has made you his permanent abode. Hope you're hearing me. You take that into the week. The Holy Ghost has made me his permanent abode. Hallelujah. I'm the temple of the living God. Whether I like it, yes or no. You are his temple. Glory to God. Amen. Whether you like it, yes or not. I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Satan came too late. Amen. A season came too late. You know, he's got to live here. Yeah. You are late. Just in the thought, you are late. Glory to God. Amen. We are just too late. Because the Holy Ghost is in me forever. No going back. Hallelujah. And we said he came with his everything. This is why Paul, in 1 Corinthians 12, remember we said, in the Holy Ghost meeting, the gift of the Spirit, right? Paul now said in 1 Corinthians 12, he now said, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren.
Verse 1.
I will not have you ignorant.
Isn't that?
Concerning spiritual gifts. So when he says spiritual gifts, when he says spiritual gifts, it means, listen, those gifts, he calls it spiritual gifts because these are gifts of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost came with them to us. Hallelujah. And I know some people, the only thing they know about spiritual gifts is how to dream. No. Amen? What's the gift of the Spirit? Someone says, my name is how to dream. I'm very skilled with my gifts and my spirit. This guy is skilled. He's not really skillful. Nothing. Amen? The spiritual gift is a concerning spiritual gift. 1 Corinthians 12.
Please, 75 minutes of my time, of your time. Let's run through this.
Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Now, 1 Corinthians 12. Are we there? Let's take this off. 1 Corinthians 12. Is it not concerning spiritual gifts, brethren? I would not have you ignorant, right? Look at verse 3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse. And no one can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Verses 4. Let's say there are diversities of gifts. When you use the word gift, wait, let's start with this. When you use the word gift, the word gift here is the word charisma. Charisma. Now, charisma means, it's from two words, charis, where you have the word grace. What is freely given? Grace. Charisma now means what is freely given that is yours. What you have that is yours. That means the gift of the Spirit is called charisma. What you have that is yours. That means the gift of the Spirit are yours. Hope you're following me. They are yours. Hope you're following that. In other words, they are diversities of gifts. But the same Spirit. You see that? Diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. When you use the word diversity, it means there are different kinds of gifts, but they are the same Spirit. That's what it means. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. So, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. In other words, follow that. That means we have different gifts, but the same Spirit. In other words, there are diverses of administration of the same Lord. There are diverses of operation of the same God that works all in all. That is the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without. Now, when you look at the word manifestation of the Spirit, it's telling you that, if you read it in context, you see, it's saying that the manifestation of the gift of the Spirit, right? In context, God was going to discuss this. The manifestation of the gift of the Spirit is given to everyone for the profit of all. Hallelujah. For the profit of everyone. It's given for everyone's good. We're going to see that. Then he now went ahead to mention the nine gifts of the Spirit. He mentions the nine gifts of the Spirit. And he says they are gifts of the Spirit. Let's read out the gifts. Look at verse 8. It says, "For to one is given the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, to another, it says by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues." It says, verse 11, "But all this worketh that one and same self-spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills." Hallelujah. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Look at what he said. He mentions the gift. So, question is, look at that verse 11. He then says, the gift will be found where? In the Spirit, right? That the gift of the Spirit, right? Are there gifts of the Spirit? So, where would they be found? In the Spirit, right? All these nine gifts, where will you find them? Is it in the Spirit you find them? Where is the Spirit of God? Where is the Spirit of God? It's in you. Where is the Spirit of God? In a believer. Are you a believer? Say, the Spirit of God is in me. So the 9 gifts of the Spirit are where? In you. Did you just say it's in you? Did you say it's in you? Are you sure of that? That means the gifts of the Spirit are all in you. Hallelujah. So that means it's all in you. We're going to give a practice to that shortly. Hallelujah. The gift of the Spirit, the 9 of them are in you. And in the Holy Ghost meeting, we'll take of this gift and bless each other. Hallelujah. In the Holy Ghost, what do we do? We'll take of this gift and we'll bless each other. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. I want to read something to you that we'll take up next week. Hear this. The gift will be the gift of the Spirit in our spirit. Right? They are found in our union with Christ in the resurrection. Therefore, these gifts are now faculties in us. They are now what? Faculties in us. They operate as faculties in the believer. Hallelujah. That means when I say they are faculties in the believer, it doesn't just mean that they are free. They are both free and you cannot lose them. And you can't lose them. I remember one time like that. I went at a street. One of my friends, Sunday, he laid hands on one of our other friends. His name is Sunday. But the first Sunday is my Sunday. Then there's another Sunday. Amen. So he laid hands on him. Laid hands because they were talking. And he just laid hands on the guy. He told him he would lay hands on him. The guy has been waiting. Then he's waiting to receive gift of speaking in tongues. Gift. He talks in scripture. Then he said, are you born again? Yeah, that is your spirit. That is the funny thing. Some people will be waiting for the gift of the Spirit. They will be waiting for tongues. They will be waiting for gifts. Oh God, send your gift. Yeah, they will see some. Send down your fire. We pray thee, your Lord. Send down your Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost? Where's the Holy Ghost? Where's the Holy Ghost? Is it you? If you know the Holy Ghost is there, you'll be praying, send down your Holy Ghost. We say amen. Because it's in me already. Hallelujah. What is in me doesn't need a sending down. It has been sent down right from thy one. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now listen. Some people are waiting. Oh God. Bless me now. Speak in tongues. God, send me your gift of tongues. Speaking in tongues. No. You are born again. You have the Spirit of God. That means the gift of speaking in tongues is in you. Amen. But many a times, just like we're going to see all those things little by little. Many a times, many believers don't even know. That's why I told us that believers, the Christian faith is a knowledge-based faith. Most of the believers don't know. But all they need to do is to take a hold of it. And that is why many times we lay hands on people. And why do we lay hands? We lay hands so that we activate that faculty in you. Hallelujah. Remember I would say it's a faculty, right? We activate it in you and speak about it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What once you know that you have the ability to speak in tongues within you, you speak in tongues. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. In the coming days by the Holy Ghost, you will not restrain the fire of the Holy Ghost. In teaching and in getting men saved, you will not restrain the power of the Holy Ghost. You will be so open to the Spirit of God and to the supernatural that every man that you lay hands on, you must activate these faculties in them before you leave them. Amen? Be scared of going out for evangelism and laying hands on them. Don't be scared of that. And don't let anyone go until they speak in tongues. Glory to God. It's part of the package. It's part of the package. Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's get back to class. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. So we lay hands like that. So this, my friend, now laid hands on this other guy called Sunday. When they laid hands on the guy started speaking in tongues. Started speaking in tongues. Started speaking in tongues. You know that this guy went home, he didn't stop. He was speaking in tongues. That day, on that first 2 days, they took them home. Why was inside the car, he was speaking in tongues. He got home, he didn't eat, he was speaking in tongues. He said he was not going to sleep because he didn't want to lose the tongues. Eventually, he slept and woke up the next morning and was still speaking in tongues. He got to sleep and was still speaking in tongues. I don't want to stop speaking in tongues because I feel if I stop, I might lose it forever. I said, no. You're not going to lose it forever. It's in you forever. Hallelujah. Very good. You don't need to be afraid. You have that ability. The guy was just speaking in tongues. It's not a joke. Just speaking in tongues. He didn't want to stop. He didn't want to stop. He said, I don't want to lose it. But he didn't know he was not going to lose it. Is in him forever. That faculty has been opened. Hallelujah. The same way in the coming days, as we get prepared for believers' convention, faculties will be opened. Amen. Amen. Not just for tongues and interpretation. No, revelation gifts. Power gifts. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Before we get to believers' convention, not doesn't believe, before we get there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We'll have power outreaches. Before believers' convention. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Some of you will see visions. Hallelujah. Both open and closed visions. You just open, you just be walking, you just be sitting doing something and you see visions. Hallelujah. Closed vision is where you are, where your eyes are closed, you see things. Hallelujah. Those faculties will be opened in you. You will see things. Hallelujah. Cleanse. Cleanse. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. That have the ability of God in thee. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. So we have that faculty. The nine gifts of the Spirit are in us. Glory to God. And also we have the gift of the Holy Ghost. So that means we could pick them up. Hallelujah. We could speak in tongues. You can speak in tongues. Hallelujah. You can speak in tongues. Let's speak in tongues. Let's speak in tongues. We are praying church. Well, let's speak in tongues.